Blue Wire.
New England sending QB Jimmy Garoppolo to 49ers.
We believe we found the right guy.
Garoppolo, quick pass, caught by Kittle. He dives, and he's in. Touchdown, 49ers. Kittle is gonna go. Touchdown.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to Striking Gold, your 49ers podcast on the Blue Wire Network. This week's episode is sponsored by Pepsi, Indeed, and BetOnline. My name, of course, is Rob Lauder. I cover the 49ers for the Blue Wire Network. And joining me tonight is my co-host, a man who's currently playing Madden, just to let you know how much he cares about you all, former NFL defensive back, Eric Crocker. Calling you out. What's up, dude?
Nothing. Just kind of dealing with my daughter crying in the background right now. And I don't know why my wife didn't shut the door on the way out. But
hey, man, everything's going great. Everybody knows that you are a family man, bro. Everybody knows that.
Around the Crocker household.
Hey, dude, it adds to the authenticity and the genuineness. I don't even know if that's a real word. Genuineness of the Strike and Gold experience.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
I think the crying daughter in the background it reminds us that right now during these times it's all about family.
It's all about family and all about your daughter spilling her cereal that she made for herself just now.
Oh, so she had like pride in it.
Yeah.
You know, made it herself and then spilled it all over the place.
Yep.
I mean, that's just a part of life.
Right.
You know, that's a part of life. But, I mean, it is what it is. It's all good. But like we said, we don't – hey, if you guys haven't caught on now, we don't edit things out. We don't pretend to have, like, this perfectly polished, clean product. Like, Crocker's little girl spilled cereal in the background, and that's what you're going to hear. It is what it is. You know, I don't want to change things just to make this seem like something it isn't. That's great.
Right. Nah, man. We're for the people.
Right. That's all it is out here. But anyway, speaking of people, the 49ers still exist. Obviously, we haven't been on here in a little bit. Our last episode was the Striking Gold 100, which went awesome. We did it live on StreamYard, I think it is. That was our first time doing that. Had a bunch of people run through there, say what's up, ask questions. If you haven't listened to that or watched that, make sure you check it out because we talked about a ton of stuff. And it was really cool. It was really cool to get to that point. But doing the video thing was fun. It's definitely something that we're going to have to do more often. You know, obviously it can't be too often. Otherwise it loses its luster, but definitely something we'll have to do again. It was fun. I enjoyed it. But so obviously things have been going not a whole lot in 49ers land. They had their bye week this week and now they are practicing to face the Rams. Coming off, like I said, their bye week. So, I mean, they got a little healthier. I believe the 49ers are expecting – they did activate Raheem Mostert's practice window along with Jeff Wilson. I think they're expecting to have Debo Samuel back. Richard Sherman was kind of the plan, but I don't think that's going to happen. We haven't gotten an update from Kyle Shanahan as to Richard Sherman's status. I know the initial hope was to have him back right now, but that doesn't seem like that's happening. But just to give you a, in case you had forgotten, I'll just count them. I was going to read all the names of the people on injured reserve right now, but I think that's probably a little too much. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16 players on injured reserve. And I think the last time I checked, it was roughly $100 million in salary cap, which is how much are you allowed? $150 million?
Oh, no, but that's definitely not ideal.
No. Okay. Top 51 of the 49ers right now is $178 million. So well over half of the 49ers salary cap right now is dedicated towards players on injured reserve. I mean, damn.
Yeah, that ain't good, man. That is not good.
But just to jump right into it, and I was going to go through, do some more of, like, you know, I guess you could say the housekeeping news. But you mentioned something before we hopped on here and clicked the live button that, and I think it relates to what I just said, that you've been seeing a lot of Kyle Shanahan flack on social media as far as his share of the blame in this whole process. Now, what, I mean, just explain that. What's going on? What are people talking about? What's the deal?
Well, they're basically saying that, you know, it's like, hey, 49ers are doing bad and Kyle Shanahan is not above criticism, basically, which we, I mean, we know that, but I think they're looking at it from a standpoint of like, hey, you know, 49ers aren't doing very well and he should get some of the blame.
Well, and my initial question was after I just said like, okay, if you say so, but what about the 49ers' current situation would you blame on Kyle Shanahan? What now, is
that's an awesome question. If I had to guess, I would assume the fact that, you know, he isn't winning. I mean, I think that's the only thing that you can really just, you know, just that part of it. Just the fact that the 49ers aren't winning right now. And I think I've seen a lot of stuff like, well, you know, everybody says he doesn't need a great quarterback to win. And if that's the case, you know, he should be winning right now without having Garoppolo. You know, I think I see a lot of kind of that going on.
Right. Well, it's like, it's kind of what I talked about a couple pods ago when we were talking about how if someone came up and told me, you know, with my middle school football team, before the next game, I had to take out over half the players and make sure it's my better half of players. And then they were like, well, you need to go win. And if you don't win, then I don't know what the hell you're doing. You suck at your job. Right. You know, I would just laugh at them. I would just laugh in their face. So it's unprecedented how many injuries the 49ers have sustained. I'm not saying it's an NFL record.
It's not like
record.
It's just one guy, right? Like, I mean, there are things, you know, even last year, the 49ers dealt with a good amount of injuries. But for the most part, most of the core group of players were together, right? One, you had your quarterback, your starting quarterback. And, you know, there's a lot going on around, you know, Jimmy Garoppolo and kind of who he is or what he is right now. But one thing is for certain, and Kyle Shanahan has said it as well, 49ers are better with him than without him, right? And he's a very competent quarterback. Now, how far you can go with him, that's a totally different subject. But, I mean, we know how far. But, you know, just winning it all, can he be the reason? I'd say no. So it's like, can you get better than him? Probably. I think it was Matt Barrows or Mayoko who said, I think Barrows, was like, there are a lot of quarterbacks in the NFL that could have done what Garoppolo did last year. And I agree. Now, you can't just be sorry, but I think, you know, if you're an average NFL quarterback, you could have done what he did like last year. There wasn't a lot that was on his plate from a game-to-game basis, you know, from that standpoint. So, you know, looking at it now, it's not only does he not have, you know, his guys or his quarterback, he's missing key players consistently, you know? Like, he's had to play numerous amount of games without Deebo Samuel, George Kittle, Raheem Mostert. You know, Ayuk has missed a couple games. Kendrick Bourne missed a game. Like, you know, he missed his left tackle. Like, he's missing guys. Jeff Wilson, like, had to miss some time. Like, I think it's just how many guys he's missing and how many games they're missing. It's not like, well, you know, it's one game where George Kittle didn't play because he had a banged up ankle. And that game happened to be a game where Kendrick Bourne missed as well. That's not the case. It's like, dude, he's missing everybody. So it's like, what are your expectations of not only him, but the offense as well? It's not going to run smoothly when you have to go out there and play a game with River Craycraft, Richie James, and whoever else started that game. You know,
it's just Kevin White.
Kevin, like, you know, like, come on, man. Like, so I see a lot of people saying, oh, everybody makes excuses for him. I think if it was an ideal situation, or I'll just say more of an ideal situation than what we've seen, and he's still losing, like, yeah, get his ass, you know? But in the situation that he's kind of been dealing with, I don't know anybody that would say like, yeah, regardless of this situation, I don't care what it is, he should be winning. And, you know, it's just not really realistic. That's just my opinion. It's just a season where once you start losing all these games, you kind of just throw the whole thing away. Like, it's just, you know, and it is what it is.
Well, and I'm not even going to be able to put this together. I mean, I'll be able to do a decent job of it. But let's say the Rams, who the 49ers are playing this week, who we all just saw on primetime do a pretty good job against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Let's say that I told Sean McVay, I was like, hey, man, for an indefinite period of time, I'm going to take Jared Goff. I'm going to take Robert Woods. I'm going to take Jalen Ramsey. I'm going to take Aaron Donald. I'm going to take, I mean, I don't know. I could keep going. There's probably a couple. I mean, maybe one of his offensive linemen. They did lose one of their offensive linemen. So, and for every one of those players I just said, there is an equal player that the 49ers have lost. I would venture, I mean, Jared Goff might be a little bit better than Jimmy Garoppolo, depending on a game-to-game basis. I've seen Jimmy Garoppolo look a lot better than Jared Goff. I've seen Jared Goff look a lot better than Jimmy Garoppolo. So, you know, swatch that out. Jalen Ramsey, Richard Sherman, obviously Ramsey's much, you know, he's a little better than Sherman right now. But, you know, losing your top corner, you know, losing Deebo Samuel, that's why I said Robert Woods. You know, and the Rams don't even have a George Kittle. You take him out, whoever you want to equate that to. And then you would say, like, okay, we'll go win games. And you could do that with every single NFL team out here. And they would all lose games. All of them.
About just replacing one guy or even two guys. We're talking about replacing all of your core guys.
Right. And right now, I mean, aside from a few here, they're still, I mean, obviously got like Fred Warner, and there's still some core guys that are still healthy. But the 49ers are, you can even get on their website and go to their roster. And right now it says they only have three team captains because the other ones are gone. You know, Jimmy Garoppolo's out, Richard Sherman's out. You know, DeForest Buckner used to be one. He was traded, which obviously is a team decision. But you're even to the point where captains aren't even listed there. George Kittle was a captain too, but he's not even on really the front page. Trent Williams is on there. I mean, you could scroll through the captains. The first three, Fred Warner, Eric Armstead, and Mike McGlinchey, are the only ones that are healthy right now. Then you have Jimmy Garoppolo. He's out. Richard Sherman, he's out. George Kittle, he's out. Trent Williams, he's out. So even if you want to just break it down to a team captain standpoint, what is that? Five out of the 18 captains, which represents kind of the core of your team, right, in most cases, are gone. So I just don't understand. Like, if you are going to, and let me make this perfectly clear, 99.9% of the people on Twitter don't have a resume capable of knowing/blaming somebody for an NFL problem. They're just random voices in a crowd. And to me, if you're going to come at somebody like Kyle Shanahan, who I think we've already said this too, if Kyle Shanahan was fired today, 25 NFL coaches would be firing their coach tomorrow because they're going to try and bring in Kyle Shanahan. Yeah. Like, he is considered one of the better coaches in the league, and he's already proven it. He took one of the worst rosters in the NFL and turned it into, along with John Lynch, turned it into a Super Bowl contender in 2.5-3 years. You can, and one of those is kind of a wash because Jimmy Garoppolo tore his ACL. So you could almost say he did it in 2 years. Now, you can't really say that because that year still had team building involved. You know, them sucking that year is what gave them Nick Bosa, stuff like that. But what are you going to blame on him? And what do you think he's doing bad that another head coach would do better?
That's a good question. I don't know. Because I wouldn't think to put any blame on them from that standpoint. I think they're competitive. I think he's doing everything that he can do to get them to be as competitive as possible, but they just don't have the guys on the field like that you need to. Like, winning games in the NFL is just hard enough as it is. It's hard enough. We saw that the first year when the 49ers started 0-9, like how hard it was to win games. And we saw how much that having a competent quarterback can change things and kind of get things heading in the right direction. But when you start taking away all that and you strip a team of their entire identity, now that people, now what I'm seeing is people starting to question just the process and now question every move that the 49ers have made, when in all actuality, they've made really good moves that put made them a Super Bowl team last year. And you're not seeing that this year, but a lot of it's just because everybody that they planned on being there has been hurt.
Well, and I still firmly believe the 49ers would be just as good as they were last year if most of their players were healthy. Like I don't think there's some massive Super Bowl hangover drop off. 2019 was just a fluke. I don't think any of that is the case. They're just the like we said, the vast majority of their core and their playmakers are hurt, and you can't blame Kyle Shanahan for that. What do you, like I said, what could he do that another head coach wouldn't be doing in his shoes? Like, do you expect them to make chicken salad out of chicken shit? Like, I don't understand why anybody out there. Now, obviously, we don't want to give too much credit or credence or, you know, leverage to just, you know, Twitter trolls who will pretty much just say whatever to get a reaction. But there's just no, I see the same result happening to every single other NFL team if they have the same amount of losses. It is what it is. It's just that bad. So, you know, it sometimes there's not somebody that needs to be blamed. Like,
right. Sometimes it is what it is, what the situation is.
Right. This is all these guys getting hurt is nobody's fault. Like, nobody messed up. I mean, sure, you could kind of twist it and say, well, if you sign guys with injury histories and they get injured, then you're kind of asking for it. And sure, but how many of the people that have gotten hurt have like bona fide horrible injury histories? Jimmy Garoppolo tore his ACL and that was like his first major injury in the NFL. And now he's just dealing with a high ankle sprain. Richard Sherman never really had any major injuries. He had his Achilles injury that he came off of, but that was his first major injury in the NFL. George Kittle doesn't have an injury history. Trent Williams, that I know of, doesn't have a huge injury history. So it's just like, and even if you're going to go that route, some of the guys that are holding it together for the 49ers are guys that have been previously injured.
Right. Right.
Jason Verrett out there holding it down. You know what I mean? So it's not always set in stone how these things are going to go. And it's just sometimes. Now, if you were to make that argument about D Ford, you know, he had a lot of injuries in Kansas City in the 40, you know, he's coming off a great year and the 49ers took a chance on him. It didn't work out. I got it. Like, okay, I got it. You know, I would be able to hear you for that. But that does not explain what has happened to the 49ers. That's just, it's silly to try and twist and bend it to where it's somebody's fault. Look, they got screwed over. Okay. They got hit with shitty luck. It is what it is. You don't have to sit there and kind of stew in it and find people to blame, because it just doesn't make sense. Throw the same injury luck at every other NFL team and they will have the exact same results, if not worse. Because Kyle Shanahan still runs a great offense and Robert Saleh has done one hell of a job.
Right. So yeah. Saleh, you can tell that they know how to coach. Like, they're scheming things. I think when you watch the film, it's like, well, I see this guy open. I see this guy open. Defensively, it's like, man, they're making teams have to work for it. But it's just what it is. I mean, you don't have
good
players on the field. And I've seen a lot of that. Like, people pushing some agenda of, well, Robert Saleh is doing his part. Like, you know, he's out coaching Kyle Shanahan. He's the best coach. And it's like, dude, like, Kyle Shanahan doesn't have the most, like, there's no position more important than the quarterback. And Kyle Shanahan is a quarterback that, you know, that's his guy. One, he's, you know, kind of up and down. Two, he's hurt too.
Right. Right. It goes, I mean, it goes on and on. And I hadn't even really covered all of this yet. You know, we hadn't even got into it because, hold on, let's get a word in from our sponsors and we'll come back and we'll talk this, because we got, in addition to the injuries, we've got a whole nother group of folk who are, you know, it's a whole other problem. So let's touch on our Indeeds and our Pepsis And we'll get right back here because 2020 has already reshaped how we work and it's almost over. Businesses across the globe are challenged to be their most efficient, which means every hire is critical. Indeed is here to help. Indeed is the number one job site in the world with more total visits than any other job site, according to ComScore. Indeed helps you find quality candidates quickly so you can focus on hiring the person you need to keep your business going. Unlike other sites, Indeed gives you full control and payment flexibility over your hiring. You only pay for what you need. You can pause your account at any time, and there are no long-term contracts. And now, Indeed's new way of matching you with candidates instantly delivers a short list of quality candidates whose resumes on Indeed match your job criteria that you can contact the moment you sponsor a job, making Indeed the only job site that can move as fast as you do. Right now, Indeed is offering our listeners at Striking Gold a free $75 credit to boost your job post, which means more quality candidates will see it fast. Try Indeed out with a free $75 credit at Indeed.com/BlueWire. This is their best offer available anywhere. Go right now to Indeed.com/BlueWire. Offers valid through December 31st. Terms and conditions apply. Thanks to a lack of natural athleticism or commitment or overbearing sports parents, fewer than 1% of 1% of 1% of people will ever play professional football. But instead of entering the NFL, they've joined another league, the League of Football Watchers. This football season will be different, and Pepsi is here to get you ready for game day, no matter how you watch. Pepsi is the refreshment you need to power through any game day. Because Pepsi isn't made for those who play the game, it's made for those who watch it. Pepsi, it's made for football watching. All right, so obviously we're talking injuries and the fact that there's really no club in the NFL that could overcome the situation that the 49ers have come up against. Now, kind of like a recent news sort of thing, in addition to the 49ers, injured reserve, and players that are out, you also have a pretty rapidly growing reserve COVID-19 list that currently features Brandon Ayuk, Eric Armstead, Jonas Grasu, backup center, DJ Jones, Javon Kinlaw, Joe Walker, Trent Williams, and Jordan Willis, and practice squad tight end Daniel Helm. Now, of that group, Trent Williams is the most noteworthy one. One, because he's their starting left tackle. And two, is because it was reported, I believe today, could have been yesterday, and by yesterday, I mean Monday, that he had officially tested positive for COVID-19. And he was considered at risk just because he was a cancer survivor. I'm assuming that's because of the things your body has to endure through therapy to overcome cancer. I don't know what else comes along with that. I'm not going to act like I know. But I know him having COVID-19 and overcoming cancer made him at risk. He said that he is feeling fine and that, you know, he plans to get through it without an issue. But, you know, that is noteworthy. I don't know. Outside of Trent Williams, we don't really know if anyone in that group has tested positive or was just considered a close contact of somebody that had tested positive. But, I mean, that's a pretty significant group. The one thing that I probably should have dug up was kind of the date that they all went on the list and when they could come off of it. But in order to come off the list, I believe you have to have 2 or 3 consecutive negative tests. So any of them could come off it at any point. We'll see as the week goes on who will or will not be available. I believe it's already confirmed that Trent Williams, given he tested positive, won't be playing against the Rams. But I don't believe that has been said for anybody else on this list. So we'll have to kind of keep our eyes on that and see what will become of those players. But, I mean, the baseline is hopefully they're all healthy. Hopefully they're all doing okay. But, you know, something else. And that is in addition to their injured reserve list. And what's crazy, if you go to overthecap.com, usually the teams will have 51 names. That's what attributes to the salary cap. It's the top 51 contracts on your team. And what's funny is the 49ers don't even have 51 players to include on there. They have a top 41 because the rest of their players are on injured reserve, which is, that's just not normal. That means the 49ers, when an NFL team is allowed to include 51 contracts and they're allowed to go into game day with however many the active number is now, the 49ers don't even have enough players to meet that limit. There is even a number, I don't know the name of it. I think Matt Barrows tweeted about it. There's even a point where the 49ers would be considered like an incomplete football team, and I don't even know what the process
is.
What is
that, like when you only have like 43 guys like available?
And the, I mean, and the 49ers are pushing that.
Right.
They have 41, you know, attributing to the contracts. I'm just looking through this, seeing, you know, they do have guys on the practice squad that obviously they can elevate up. But, man, I mean, that should tell you the 49ers are actually pushing the boundaries of what you, the number of players you are required to have in order to be considered, you know, a complete NFL team. Now, obviously, if they were getting to that point, they wouldn't just sink. They would sign other players to make sure their roster was complete. But they only have $3.5 million in salary cap right now. So they don't have a lot of money to throw around to sign players to even make their roster complete. So, I mean, you combine all these things, and it should just kind of paint a picture of how unique, how uncommon, how desperate, and just how kind of unparalleled the situation the 49ers are in. Like, and none of this, like, none of this process needs to include someone to blame. It just sucks ass. It is what it is. You know, it's like blaming somebody for an earthquake. Like, it's nobody's fault. We just live on Earth. Shit happens. You know, it's like, you know, you chose to live in an earthquake town. An earthquake happened. We're playing football. Injuries happened. Like, it's just to me, is that simple. There's no one to blame for this mess. It is what it is. It's a product of the game and really, really, really crappy luck. But, I mean, yeah. So, I mean, I understand that, you know, it's a frustrating season. It's not fun to watch. It frustrates a lot of people out there. I understand that. But there's no – it's sometimes it's just not anybody's fault. You kind of just have to realize it sucks and it is what it is. You know, not to to dampen the mood even further. But Kaywan Williams, the 49ers starting nickel corner, who's currently on injured reserve, recovering from a high ankle sprain, he recently, or today, as of today, was suspended for 2 games for, I think they said it was performance-enhancing stuff, right? I mean, I don't know the exact wording of it now because they keep changing what stuff is considered stuff. But not a huge loss for the 49ers because Kaywan Williams was already out. What it is significant about it is if he were to get caught again, I think that grows to like, it either grows to 4 or 6 game suspension. According to kind of the list of, you know, I guess the tiers of those suspensions, the 2 game suspension is given out to those who, testing positive is obviously a weird way to word it at this point, but, those who have tested positive for the first time. So this is the first time Kaywan Williams has gotten in trouble. So he got a 2 game suspension. Now, like I said, he's actually not on injured reserve because the 49ers don't need to put him on injured reserve because they don't have any roster spots they need to free up and they don't have any money to sign players. So he's still technically on the active roster, but he was recovering from a high ankle sprain. And the 2 game suspension doesn't hurt the 49ers at all. He was already out. But it's just a matter. It's just another thing. Just another thing to add to the list. Why not? Why not just let that happen too? Jamar Taylor has been playing in his place, who, for all intents and purposes, has been decent.
Probably leads the team in interceptions, right? I would guess. I mean, he had 2 in 1 game, but
right. You know. And then that was all it took. Boom. We're in the front.
Yeah.
Not a lot of turnovers to be had right now, but I mean, he's been decent. I don't know how that, you know, I obviously don't know how that plays out on a snap-to-snap basis. I haven't broken down the Jamar Taylor film, but at least you know they've got somebody there. Another thing they did do was they waived linebacker Kiko Alonso with a failed physical, and that was pretty much always the plan from the 49ers' perspective. Trading Quan Alexander was purely about his contract and how much he was due to make for the rest of this year, how much he was due to make next year, freeing up that money because the 49ers are so tight against the cap, and the fact that Quan Alexander, you know, was kind of slugging through some injuries, but he's back on the field for the Saints. So Kiko Alonso being included in that deal was never to replace Quan Alexander. That was just kind of procedural. Like, the Saints didn't really want him anymore, so they included him in the trade. The 49ers got a fifth-round pick as part of the process, conditional, but Quan Alexander is already on the field, so we don't know what necessarily the condition of that trade was, but Kiko Alonso was never really in the 49ers' plans. Right. He was hurt when they acquired him, so it wasn't a huge deal. What else do we got here? I mean, talk to me about what you saw, Crocker, from the Rams against the Bucs. That technically, I guess we need to preview Sunday's matchup because we're not going to be on here today, or just to kind of open you up to our process. And I'll repeat the question, Croc. But today's Tuesday. This episode should come out at some point Wednesday. And then obviously Thursday is, for many of you, Thanksgiving. And then Friday. We never really record on Fridays because apparently, from the higher-ups, podcast numbers aren't great on the weekends. So we don't really record on Friday for something to be published Saturday. So today was really the last day to record unless we were going to be asking somebody to work on Thanksgiving. And we also didn't – we were also told that, you know, people don't listen to podcasts very much on holidays, which I guess makes sense. So today was really like our one and only this day this week where it makes sense to pod. So we're going to give everybody – that, you know, edits our episodes above us and stuff like that, a break for the week. So this will be our episode for the week. And the reason I'm telling you guys that is because obviously we need to preview the 49ers and the Rams game. Not that there's necessarily a lot that needs to be previewed, but I don't know. Crocker, just tell me, what are your thoughts, man? What are your thoughts on the 49ers versus the Rams?
Well, I mean, obviously familiar foes, you know, clearly 49ers won the first matchup. Now, it was a little different. You did
make it look easy.
Yeah, and, you know, but you did have Jimmy Garoppolo out there. Now, here's the thing, with what Kyle had Jimmy do, I wasn't actually really impressed from the standpoint of, like, oh, man, like, great game by Jimmy. I think he did a good job of just kind of, like, executing everything. But that wasn't, like, it wasn't like Kyle asked him to do a whole lot, you know, that game. So, but you still, with Nick Mullins, Nick Mullins definitely hasn't been anywhere near efficient as we saw from Jimmy Garoppolo, you know, that game. So this game, you just have to hope. I mean, the biggest thing, what I say last week, like, okay, can't turn the ball over, Nick Mullins, who's kind of been a turnover monster, right? Like, that's what he does. He turns the ball over a ton. Anything he did it again last game, you know, I was watching the game against the Rams last game, and what did they do? They forced a ton of turnovers against Tom Brady. Like, you just can't have that, because I think that ultimately, like, that's what helped them. What am I trying to say? Like, that, you know, that just helped them win the game. Like, it made it a whole lot easier and made it so you can't really compete. And when you start doing that and the defensive pass rush starts pinning their ears back, you're just going to be in trouble. So, Nick Mullins, hopefully they figure out a way to kind of take a little bit of pressure off of him. That's something that we haven't seen Kyle be good at. And when I say Kyle good at, I mean, this just hasn't been something that's worked. But they just got to figure that out.
Right. And it really is just, especially with Trent Williams missing the game for the COVID stuff. I mean, it just seems like a perfect storm for the Rams. As far as the condition the 49ers are in, the amount of players on injured reserve, how everybody's playing that is in the game, there's not a whole lot of impressive stuff going on with the 49ers right now. I mean, you do have your standout player that's here and there, but, it, you know, it, it just seems like one of those things. Now, if you're going to, obviously you still have to talk about the game in a serious way, I guess. You know, you gotta find something. But what really stood out to me against when the Rams played the Buccaneers on Monday night was just how in sync the Rams passing attack was. Like both, okay, between Cooper Kupp and Robert Woods, you got a total of 23 receptions for 275 yards and a touchdown. Between those two players, that was, if you look at their passing numbers, those two guys attributed for like 90%. So, I mean, I don't, I'm obviously kind of narrows it down as far as who you want to stop. But at the same time, both of those guys are very, very talented players. And Jared Goff was just dealing. He threw 51 passes and completed 39 of them, 76%, for 376 yards. Now, he did turn the ball over twice, which is, you know, Jared Goffish. But he did score three touchdowns. Now, a quick little funny story here, fantasy football story. Going into that Monday night game, I was up by 43 points after Travis Kelce put up big numbers on Sunday night. So I was up by 43 points, and I was pretty much like, okay, I've got this in the bag. All he had, that guy that I was playing against, my good friend Bobby, he had Cooper Kupp. And in the first half of the Rams and Buccaneers game on Monday night, Cooper Kupp had like 22 points. I believe he'd already had like 10 catches for 109 yards or something like that. And I was like, oh my gosh. And I am 8-3 in this league. I'm competing right now for playoff seeding. I've got a shot at winning it all. I'm competing. Yeah, I'm competing for, you know, to lead the division and, you know, get a first round bye, all this fantasy football talk. But I'm watching the game and I'm like, dude, they just keep feeding the ball to Cooper Kupp. And what's funny is when I made a comment to my buddy Bobby about it, I was like, dude, if he repeats that half in the second half, you're going to win. And Bobby sent back a joke saying basically was like, eh, he'll just end up with like 23 points. And what's funny is that's almost what happened. He didn't end up with 23 points. I think he ended up with like 27. And like I said, I was up by like 43. But it was just such a dominant first half by Cooper Kupp. And I was just blown away by it from both a regular football standpoint and a fantasy football standpoint. But so he, you know, despite my 43-point league, I was still working up a little bit of a sweat there. But the Rams were just humming, and their rushing offense was nothing. Their entire rushing offense only averaged 1.9 yards per carry. Their two leading running backs attributed for 8 carries for 35 yards. There was not a lot going on there. So you know that the Rams' offense is becoming fairly one-sided. And the 49ers are pretty good against the run. So you know it's going to be the Cooper Kupp and Robert Woods show, probably, again. Or at least the Rams are going to want it to be. So if the 49ers, who are still playing well on defense, want to have a shot there, they're going to have to get after Jared Goff, which they're not very good at doing right now because they don't have anybody generating a ton of pressure. And they're going to have to close down Cooper Kupp and Robert Woods. Now, obviously, much easier said than done. Now, on offense, though, from a 49ers perspective, there's just not a lot to talk about right now. We don't know if Raheem Mostert's playing. We don't know if Jeff Wilson's playing. I don't even know if Brandon Ayuk's playing. We'll see if he comes off the COVID list. I'm assuming he will. Deebo Samuel's back at practice. I think the 49ers expect to get him back for the game, but that hasn't been officially announced yet. Nick Mullins is playing pretty bad football. Turned over the ball twice against the Saints. Probably should have been 4 turnovers. It's just, I mean, there's just no way to sugarcoat this into thinking that the 49ers are somehow going to dominate the Rams like they did in their first meeting, where, like Crocker said, Jimmy Garoppolo kind of just managed the hell out of that game and let Kyle Shanahan basically tell him where to throw the ball.
You know, the crazy thing is that this is the tone that we had about that first meeting. If you remember that?
We did. Like, it's true.
We had this same tone, and I'm not saying we'll get the same results, but I do remember having that same tone, like, oh, man, like 49ers were just coming off of, like, back-to-back games where, you know, it just did not look good. And then it's like, here we are again in a very similar situation. And, you know, we're hoping obviously for, you know, a different outcome. But yeah, I do remember that. Like, I do remember having that same type of vibe going into
the game. And we had basically said, like, look, if the 49ers get the crap kicked out of them, because they hadn't had all these injuries, they'd had a lot of them, not as many of them. And we're like, look, if the 49ers get the crap kicked out of them, then this is going to be a pretty grim podcast. Like, you know, we're going to be at the point of no return type of deal. And then they went out and showed them up. So I don't know. I mean, different team. I'd like to compare the two rosters and see who they had and who they didn't have in that game. But still, I don't know. This one feels different.
Yeah, it does. I think that was the one thing that we could, like, hang our hat on from that first meeting is the fact that, hey, they were getting kind of like healthier at that time. They were guys back. So that was the one thing where it was like, well, it can be better because when there's are getting these kind of guys back and stuff, but it just wasn't very optimistic.
No, it wasn't. It wasn't. And you guys know me, I'm always trying to be positive, but sometimes it's just like, damn, like we may be in for it this time and we'll see. We'll see. The 49ers could always come out and surprise. They have been really good against the Rams the last, you know, few times they played them last couple seasons. You know, there was that one where they came down to the very end where Emmanuel Sanders made that crazy catch. Jimmy Garoppolo made that crazy throw to kind of just kick the game-winning field goal. But for the most part, it feels like their last, like, four or five meetings, the 49ers have kind of had the Rams' number. But, again, that was with a complete roster, a near complete roster, a decent roster, and now the 49ers are down to a bad roster of remaining players. So
yeah,
we'll see what they can maintain when it comes to 49ers versus the Rams. I don't know. You know, I keep wanting to say this is the one where, you know, it all catches up to them. But like I said, maybe the 49ers have got some surprises for the Rams. We'll see. I don't know. And another more positive news. I guess we'll end on some positive news. Kentavious Street was not fined for his sack of Drew Brees. What a surprise. Right. It was almost like it was a perfectly legal and acceptable sack. I wish they could go back in time and pick up the flag. Not that had any influence in the overall result of the game, but it was just disappointing.
I mean, you know, it was a big game. It was a big play. And, I mean, just for, you know, somebody like him, does he have a sack this year?
I think that was his first NFL sack.
Wow. See,
Maybe I'm wrong. I'll look. I'm looking right now. But it was just, I mean, to me, it was just such a, that would have been his first NFL sack.
Wow.
But they took it away from him because of a shitty call. And what's funny, too, is if you go back and watch that, unless I missed another flag, the ref kind of just walks up and talks about it with another ref, and then he just kind of drops the flag on the ground.
Yeah, it wasn't something that they called immediately.
Yeah, it was horrible.
And it was almost like they waited to see the reaction of Drew Brees, who, like, I remember telling the homies, I was like, damn, it looked like he, like, is ready to kind of like pass out or something, you know, like that's what it looked like. And I just thought he was doing that to draw a flag, especially since he came back in and played the rest of the half. But really, he was really hurt.
Yeah, he was. He was really hurt. And that's the thing to me is like you hit the nail on the head. They literally walked up, saw that Drew Brees was hurt, and then dropped the flag on the ground. Like, oh, he's hurt. So it must have been an illegal hit. Boom, here's your flag.
And he did, just like you said, he did drop it on the ground. Like, it wasn't something like, oh, he got
right
hit
next to his foot.
I'm 10 yards back and I'm gonna throw it, you know, throw the flag, you know, way up by where it happened. It was like the ref waited, walked over, then just dropped it on the ground like nobody will see me drop this late.
I know. Like when you were a little kid and you used to like litter before you realized it was just a crappy thing to do. Yeah. And you just like drop it. Like you're like, no one will see that. Like you're like, oh man, what's up with my hair? You know, like, so it was just so annoying. Like he didn't even hit Brees that hard. He came up, he hit him, and he kind of put his helmet in his shoulder pad and then just brought him to the ground. and most of his body was off of him when he landed on the ground. Then he rolled off to the left. He like did everything he could to adhere to all these dumbass rules they have now for NFL sacks. And he still got flagged because Drew Brees was on the ground rolling around. It's silly. It's silly. But, you know, at least he didn't get fined. Because, I mean, I'm not in any way saying that NFL players are hard up for money. But he's a fourth-round pick. That's just doing his thing. He don't need to get fined. Especially when he didn't do nothing wrong. And that was good to hear. But I just remember seeing that. And I made a couple comments on Twitter where I was just like, dude, like, just stop. Stop making football suck like this. You know, it was just stupid. And obviously the injury and the fact that I don't think that hit necessarily resulted in it, but it ended up with further examination. Drew Brees had like 12 broken ribs or some, and I think he only had like 24 of them. So like half of his ribs were broken, and I've heard that's incredibly painful. So he'll be out for a little bit, and you get to watch more Taysom Hill. Yay, Taysom Hill.
I watched it too, and that was weird.
Yeah, it was annoying. So stupid. But anyways, I don't want to get into that again. I think that's it, man. I mean, Shoot. So, again, this should come out on Wednesday. And then Thursday's Thanksgiving. And then Friday's Friday. Black Friday, heads up. I mean, obviously this year's different. Because they don't want a big old crowds in stores. So we all get to do some decent shopping online, check some deals, save some money. And then it'll be, then we'll have Sunday. And the 49ers will play football. Yeah.
I mean, it's always weird, you know, after the bye, especially with the kind of weeks that the 49ers had with, having a Thursday night game, and then it's like you wait a long time, then they finally play again, and you watch them, and then all of a sudden now they got a bye week, and you have to wait a long time again, and that whole thing was kind of weird. I didn't like it.
Right. Yeah, and it was weird. It was a long
time without football. As bad as the team is playing, like, I still, like, love watching my 49ers. I still enjoy it. I still watch it with the same anticipation as, you know, any other time. I mean, now I don't know. Have you seen people like, oh, if you're rooting for the 49ers to lose, you're not a real fan. And I don't ever root for them to lose, but I do kind of root for them not to win. Just make it enjoyable to watch and, like, you know, don't really win. Like, you know, right now it's not worth it. It reminds me of that season where Kaepernick won that last game and lost the 49ers out, or second to last game, and the 49ers ended up losing out on Myles Garrett, you know. And just, man, think about, you know, what he could have been in for the 49ers. But now,
right?
Yeah, they're in that same situation again where it's like, dude, like, beat the Cowboys, but outside of them, it doesn't matter.
Outside of them, and even they looked really impressive. Who did they just go out and beat?
They beat the Vikings.
Yeah, yeah. Man, they looked, and they put on a game.
Andy Dalton did a good job helping with that comeback.
Yeah, it was pretty impressive. So even the Cowboys aren't going to be no wash, but we'll see. We'll see. You never know. Kyle Shanahan's always got something in his bag.
Right.
So we'll see what they can do. But, I mean, that's it for today. You got any closing thoughts before we depart for our Thanksgiving, Crocker?
Oh, man, just everybody, just be safe and wear your mask.
Right. I told my students before we checked out, I was like, look, I don't care what you guys do. I'm not going to tell you what to do or what not to do. That's not my place. Just make sure whatever you do, you try and be whatever you do, just try and be safe about it and take care of yourself and do whatever you got to do. You know, but just make sure that you realize that ham is better than turkey. So if you have to choose between one or the other, pick turkey. And then, you know, if you feel obligated to take some, or excuse me, pick ham, but if you feel obligated to take some turkey, then take some, you know. But like I said, just put your ham on top of it. So maybe a little bit of the flavor rubs off or something like that. And make sure you give yourself plenty of gravy or whatever else you need to put on your turkey to make it edible. You know, just the normal stuff. But anyways, yeah, for reals. Just enjoy your Thanksgiving. Enjoy your time with family. Weird times. Enjoy, you know, your little small slice of normalcy. Hopefully that's what you get this holiday. And we will see you back here Sunday evening after the 49ers game. And we'll see what we've got to talk about. But as you all know, for another evening, for another day, this is Striking Gold signing out.
Peace.